NVH is the topic of today's episode. Let's get into it. Busiest guys here at Signalysis, always solving problems, finding solutions, and dreaming up new ideas. While we have a moment, let's get to the bottom of today's topic. Let's start from the beginning by defining the acronym NVH. What does it stand for, and can you define it?
NVH is noise, vibration, and harshness. The noise is measured just as like a lot of times people understand DBA or white noise, which is a large spectrum of noise, and so forth. And it's measured in amplitude in pascals, and then also in frequency, hertz, typically measured with a microphone. However, vibration, it also makes noise. A lot of times the source of your vibration of noise is a vibrating function. There is airborne noise and structure-borne noise. Most all of our work we do is in the structure-borne noise area and so forth. But and harshness or vibration, again, is measured in meters per second squared, meters of vibration or velocity or acceleration. And then heart, it's frequency and amplitude as well. Harshness is kind of the how it feels. You know, does it feel rough? Does it feel harsh? You know, and putting a rating on that. And you use the combination of vibration and noise to get that.
Signalysis has a history with vibration testing that dates back to the Wernher von Braun rocket development era. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, but probably be best to go to the podcast and where you meet NASA Bob back in the early days. Bob Coleman's my dad. I think most everybody that knows me knows that. And back in the good old days, he was coming out of the Navy, looking for a job and so forth, and had the opportunity to interview with von Braun's crew. He ended up choosing another job. Well, the offer didn't come in fast enough, so he had kids and a wife and a family and bills, and he had to go to work somewhere else. But he ended up on working in another area of rocket science. So that's why we always say around here that we have a rocket scientist on staff, just in case we need one.
And I thought I was cool when I got my first job at a steakhouse. What industries are typically challenged by NVH issues?
Well, certainly there's the automotive industry. Let's talk about rockets. Back in the early days, I kind of followed in my dad's footsteps a little bit and worked in Johnson Space Center down in Houston, where we were part of the fatigue certification program for the space shuttle, always doing NVH. You know, we were using noise actually to simulate liftoff and re-entry of the space shuttle while we were using vibration measurements and mole analysis to study how the space shuttle was responding to the excitation of liftoff and re-entry. So that's one of them. Automotive industry all the time. Everybody complains about something that makes noise. Maybe more of the complaints come in the world of your home appliances, and I think these days everybody's walking around shopping for a washer or dryer or a dishwasher.
Refrigerator.
And you'll see ratings on the sales ticket at the appliance store. And they'll give you a DBA rating. And some of them are even give you a Sohn's rating now, which is a calculation of loudness.
You mentioned automotive. Can you talk about some of the areas where NVH is a real concern?
Well, these days with electric vehicles being out there, how quiet it is inside your vehicle is makes it so much easier to hear clicking and popping. So you have a HVAC, you turn on your air conditioner, and you hear a little tick, 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 tick. You know, that's coming from maybe a piece of plastic or a piece of foam hitting the fan blade as it drives the air. that's one of the areas. Speakers buzzing, you know, if somebody misinstalled the device, the speakers in your vehicle, all of a sudden you start buzzing and rattling when you're listening to the best songs ever, you know. And that's really the biggest issue is it's getting quieter and quieter and quieter inside the cabin. And anything that happens inside the cabin now, solenoids, clicking, gearbox problems, window wiper problems, all that stuff is being amplified and just becomes an annoyance. That falls into that little harshness area, those other objectionable noises. And that's where Signalis is really shining and be able to identify what those noises are and help make sure no vehicle gets manufactured with those noises in it.
Now, I remember in high school, I had a teacher that told us, I guess it was in the 70s or 80s, that people working on the line at car at automotive places would get really bored because they would be constantly making the same thing over and over. So they would put in loose bolts or loose things inside the car just at the thought that someone's driving and they have to deal with that sound. I guess it's safe to say that Signalis can prevent stuff like that.
That is correct. We're not seeing that much that somebody's sabotaging the vehicle right these days, but hey, you know, if that's a concern, we can help put a stop to it.
Excellent. Aren't noise and harshness issues traceable to vibration? In other words, isn't it vibration's fault that we get the other two?
That is a good way of putting it. You know, vibration. If I'm tapping on the table, you're not hearing my fingers tap. You're hearing the resonances of the table be excited. Maybe you're hearing resonances of my fingernails if they're too long and so forth. But the same kind of thing with an out-of-tune guitar. You know, if the strings are vibrating, you change the tension so it changes the vibration so it gets it into tune. You know, or change those frequencies.
In the industry, we often hear the term other objectionable noises. What does that mean? And isn't objectionable a subjective term?
Well, you got it. That you hit the nail on the head right there. Objectionable is very subjective. And typically, the type of sound that you hear, some people will object to it, some people won't. But if you're subjectively listening to it and you're objecting to that, you have no way of scaling it, no way of actually quantifying what that is, except, hey, I didn't like this, but, hey, I just heard the same noise, and it was okay to me this time. You know, sometimes it's the amplitude of that noise. Sometimes maybe it's the frequency in which it is. It's kind of like an objectionable noise that everybody can probably relate to is going to a elementary school band concert and having all the trumpeters play at the same time, and not any one of them can hold a note in tune. So you get these two notes that are next to you and going wah, 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 you know, and then somebody's really off and they're flat or sharp on their, you know, when they play. And that kind of stuff is objectionable. How do you measure it? Well, you take out a microphone, you get an accelerometer, or you take the laser vibrometer, and you can measure that and quantify that, sure enough, I'm at an elementary school band concert. That's par for the course. But when it gets to being in a vehicle, for instance, you know, you have a motor that's just, there's something wrong with the windings and it's not powerful enough. And as you're trying to move your power seat, you're getting this wah, 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 wah. That could be from the motor. It can be from maybe a bent lead screw and so forth. But the dBA level of that noise falls within everybody's requirement. You mentioned having a new refrigerator, mm-hmm, and so forth. That's one of the big issues with my refrigerator was the dBA level it's not very loud. You know, it's a relatively quiet product, but in order to save energy, they ramp up their compressor, and that's how you meet some of the HE requirements. You know, the new energy efficiency requirements is it's not running at full speed all the time, and you can ramp it up and ramp it down as needed. So it's not so much a problem that it's super loud, but you're back there watching a movie, and next thing you hear this
a little rattle here and there.
A rattle or just a speed up, coast down. It's a change in what I expected. You know, so it's something to get used to, but those noises can be identified, and we have systems out there that select those other objectionable noises. Really, you see that on all the OEM specifications in automotive these days, that they'll give you, hey, has to be, you know, 5.5 zones, or has to be within 48 dBA, or no other objectionable noises. And some people will put names to those noises, like it's got to be no graveling or no hammering, or, you know, and sometimes that's just a dot, 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 dot type thing, you know, that it's a gearbox or a ticking of some sort. And that you can always root cause it back to some defect in the manufacturing process.
I assume that as products become more complex, that the possibilities for NVH issues is always present. Is that a fair assumption?
Yep, absolutely. You know, the complexity just adds more things that could go wrong. You know, take a sunroof, for instance. There's a push to build, well, in any automotive vehicle, for sure, there's a push to get the weight down from the vehicle. And there's a push to, manufacture it with, processes that might not be the best. You need to save money and try and keep the cost down. So anytime you have to do that, you're always going to run into that there's a casting problem that went wrong. There's a, flashing problem on a piece of plastic, and then the whole manufacturing side of it, if people are involved at sticking stuff onto your product and people are getting bored with their job and dropping screws into things, then you're always going to have an NVH issue.
Scrap parts, excessive warranty claims, recalls, and customer complaints are all after-the-fact results of NVH. How are companies proactively detecting NVH problems before the product leaves the production line?
Well, it first starts with trying to track the data of what the customer feedback data and what those warranty claims are all about. Sometimes we've worked with companies which have no warranty feedback data when it comes to noise and vibration, to helping companies start up a program whereby their customer care and those guys will actually start drilling down with some specific questions about a noise issue. Once that starts coming back, then you say, now we know what that problem is. We know everybody's complaining about the number one noise is a gearbox tick. Once you have that, then you can say, hey, I need to identify this gearbox tick on the assembly line before the product is ever built, and even maybe up to the supplier of the gearbox. And, hey, don't ship me any gearboxes that have noises, and therefore I'll never build a product that has a gearbox tick in it. You know, so we help across the board from the customer care data gathering side all the way back to the actual supplier side of who's making the gear for that if we need to. So we're willing to be a part of the team that works all that stuff out.
How does Signalysis work with customers to eliminate NVH problems? Can you walk us through the process?
Yeah, basically, the customer will come to us and say either they're developing a new product or, hey, we're getting a lot of customer complaints and now we're in containment for specific noise issues. It starts with us, understanding what it is that the noise that people are hearing, but also getting some components in our hands. We have a warehouse back in the back that has products from back in the 1990s, really, that for some reason, we just don't throw things away. People call me a hoarder, but it's meaningful to me. That part came in. it was somebody's problem, and it ticked or it buzzed or it squealed, and how do we detect that? And we put it on a bench somewhere, build a fixture up, we measure it, we say, okay, this is the type of measurement it's going to take to solve this problem. Maybe we have to take the product into a sound lab or an anechoic chamber and correlate vibration back to the noise that's being measured. But we develop a metric for that. And once that metric is there, we can also develop the process in which it needs to sit on an assembly line and get measured 100% to make sure that noise that pops up doesn't occur.
Signalysis develops test systems to detect NVH quality issues. Can you talk about the software that drives these systems?
Sure. So our product line is called SigQC. Sometimes you'll hear me talk about it as being a SigQC, a suite of products, which comes with a data acquisition front end called SigAnalyzer that allows us to measure the types of measure from almost any kind of sensor that's out there. Current sensors, vibration sensors, eddy currents is one of them. We can measure accelerometers, acceleration, Polytech laser vibrometers. Yeah, there's just a broad range tachometer, for instance, if we're trying to measure rotating equipment. Those are all the sensors. They feed into SigAnalyzer. From SigAnalyzer, we sample it using traditional sampling theory, and we then can compute frequency response functions out of it, do FFT spectrums, Hilbert transforms, feed all that data directly into SigQC, which then can post-process the heck out of almost any signal that comes in. And it's a real broad range. And so that's another part of the package, that suite, is the post-processing functions that are available for either frequency statistics, trimming, cropping, filtering, you name it. It's a... be happy to share.
Very robust.
Yeah, very robust.
Are there any unusual or interesting NVH projects in which you've been involved?
Oh, there's a few of them. I mean, over the years we've done quite a bit. One of the one of the big projects we actually have a patent for is our ability to detect or identify the risk of fracture for patients have osteoporosis. So who would have thought that the same measurement that we're going to take when we go impact a brake rotor and measure a frequency response function or test the space shuttle for that mentioned and get a resonant frequencies would be used to test your bones. But we have the ability to strap on some accelerometers to your leg. We have a special hammer we built that'll come in and impact, kind of like you would a reflex test, but it has a load cell mounted to it. So we measure the frequency response function, and then we developed algorithms for sorting patients and how their bones are responding to that impact and so forth. So that's probably one of the bigger ones. I haven't, we do some dental drill work. That's always fun until you turn the dental drill on and you immediately have PTSD from all the cavities I had as a kid. But those are some weird ones.
Your description of the bone project was made me feel a little safer than what was in my head. I just pictured the movie Misery. And
So it's
a little different than that.
It was a little tough to get the FDA to approve the old sledgehammer.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like we have some work to do. Neil, thank you for shedding some light on NVH for us today. Thank you to everyone out there listening, and stay tuned to the Signalysis website for future podcast videos and more.